And get out your Bibles tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we continue in our study, 2 Timothy. I hope that you've been enjoying this this study. You know, there are certain passages of Scripture, and I, if you follow the teen devotionals, I know that most of the time we're working through certain books of the Bible, but something that's a nice thing to do as well, and I've done at different times, is to read through one specific book. Maybe it's a small book, but do it repeatedly. Maybe you read through it, you start at the beginning of the month, and then the end of the month, you start again. And I know sometimes we do that with the book of Proverbs, but sometimes even taking some of these smaller books, and boy, it's amazing to see how things that didn't necessarily jump out at you the first time you read it, as time goes on and you revisit the passages, you begin to see how even the beginning of that particular book relates to the middle and even to the end. You begin to see themes that sort of rise to the surface as you become more and more familiar with that particular book. And I would say such is the case in my study of the book of 2 Timothy. Noticing some of the trends that we see in the last portion of this book and seeing even how they're connected to other chapters in this. So, I'd recommend this summer, as you have maybe a little bit more freedom in your devotions and you're not necessarily a part of the Impact program or Earning Points or anything like that, I encourage you to maybe target a couple of small books that you can really focus on and go through and read repeatedly. I think they'd be very good for you. But as we're here, if you were here the last few weeks, you notice that we're talking about this theme of serving the Lord, talking about service to God. We started off talking about preaching and how preaching ought to be a priority in our life concerning our desire to serve the Lord. Every day that we live, we wake up, Lord, my desire is to serve you today, a proactive approach to Christianity, right? And so we talked about the priority of preaching and talking about how that should be something that we're attracted to as Christians and that we desire to be a part of our lives, whether it's here in teen time or even the opportunities that many times online forum allows us. So we talked about preaching. We then got a little bit more into the nuts and bolts of the Christian life, talking about things that we put off, things that we put on, Paul's representation of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. We talked about fighting the good fight. We talked about how the Christian life is a struggle and so forth and so on. It's a daily battle against our flesh and the world and the devil. And, the Christian life is not an easy thing. It's not a cakewalk. It's not something that's just plain easy. When we find access to the Spirit of God, certainly that makes all the difference in the world. But Paul described it as a struggle. Serving the Lord can be a struggle at times. And then last week, you guys helped me out. Last week, what did we talk about? We sort of pivoted off that, and then we moved into talking about some other things. And I know that was a long time ago. I know that. But does anybody remember what we looked at? Some of you have your notebook with you, and that helps out a little bit too. But Karen. Sure. Yeah, we talked about, we really embarked on the very first thing that's required for making a difference in our service, okay? Serving God is important. That should be a desire that we all have. But I don't know about you, I want to be effective in my service for the Lord, okay? I don't want to be nonchalant. I don't want to be mediocre in my service to the Lord. No, I want to be on the front foot of serving the Lord in my daily life. Okay, for you, obviously for me, that's wrapped up in what God has called me to do at this point in my life. That means I'm at home. Lord, how would you have me to serve you in this environment? I'm here at work. This is my work. It's hard to think of it as that way because I enjoy it so much. But Lord, how would you have me to serve you today at work? Now, how do you think about that? Well, you think of it in terms of your home life. You think of it in terms of your student life here, okay, in school or wherever you may go to school, okay? The question is, how can we serve God? And we talked about making a difference in our service. That's got to begin with loving other people. And we talked about that. We talked about the different people that Paul sort of brings attention to, people that he knew, that he rubbed shoulders with, different characters, if you could, that had different traits connected with them, but yet people that he said, you know, these were people that the Lord enabled me to know and enabled me to love through the help of the Spirit of God. Hey, if you're a teenager in this room tonight, God wants you to love the people around you, no matter who it is. God doesn't want you to hold a grudge between any yourself and anybody else in this room. God doesn't want you to do with that with your family. You should have the desire to love other people. Because you, until you and I do that, we're not going to be effective in our service for God. He wants us to be effective, and we looked at loving others is where that starts. I want to give you the second thing tonight in regards to that. And this is, I think, is very important. But let's notice our text here as we kind of continue on through 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice with me here. Let's start in verse 11. Okay, he's winding down talking about these folks. And he says, only Luke is with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychius have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. When thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And we're going to notice these, just these couple of verses here this evening. Before we get too far into things tonight, let's go ahead and ask for the Lord's help. Lord, we recognize our need as, Lord, human beings here this evening. Lord, as your word says, there is none that doeth righteous, no, not one. Lord, we understand that tonight we have, Lord, great deficiencies among ourselves. Lord, there are some of us that perhaps are filled with great pride, Lord, thinking that we don't have any needs, and Lord, that we have all the answers to life. I pray, Lord, that you would break through that type, Lord, of thought process. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the one who needs to be encouraged this evening. Father, someone who's had just a tough week. I pray, Lord, that through the avenue of your word, and Father, by your Spirit, would you uplift them tonight? Lord, I pray that as we look at this truth, Father, that this truth would not be, Lord, commonplace or even, Lord, boring. I pray there'd be something, Lord, that we could get excited about and Father, understand that these things were given for our learning. Father, they're given, Lord, for our benefit. I pray, Lord, that each of us would take active interest in these things tonight. And Lord, that you would guard my tongue. Lord, help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Lord, I pray that I would be led of you, and Lord, the material that, Lord, I've prepared, Father, that doesn't need to be included tonight, I pray that you would bar my mind and my lips, Lord, from going there. Lord, I pray that you would keep us from distractions this evening. Lord, I know the devil would like nothing more, Father, than to keep us from focusing on truth. So, Lord, we're asking, we're pleading for your help even now. We pray that you would grant that to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice the second thing. Again, we're talking about our service for God being effective, making a difference in our daily service for Him. Number one, love others. The second thing that we're going to look at tonight is this. You and I need to prioritize our personal needs. Okay, if you're taking notes, I'll give that to you one more time. Prioritize your personal needs. Now, I love this passage of Scripture because we're given a window into Paul's personal thinking here. Now, obviously, this was written for Timothy's benefit and the church and for all of us is pertinent. But you and I can kind of see some of the Apostle Paul's needs, the things that he looked at and said, hey, these are needs in my life as a believer. And you and I can learn from that. But notice here, he gives a list of needs, and he's prioritizing those needs as well. Now, one thing that I find, before we go too much further, notice some of the needs that he mentions here. He says in verse 13, he says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Now, we're going to look at these three things that he mentions here specifically, but, you know, sometimes we don't know the difference between our needs and our wants. And sometimes our wants can be so strong that we slip them into that needs category. You know, one thing that I found that as I live, as I grow, the more pronounced my needs become and how clear they become. You know, I don't think that I always had a clear view of the needs that I had, sometimes when I was even your age. You know, for instance, sometimes I'll hear someone say something like this: "I don't need to get a license." Now, there's not many people that I've heard say that before, but I have heard a couple of people. And those are people who don't want to maybe go through the work of getting it or the trouble. You know, they're just content to allow their brother or sister or parents or grandparents or everybody else to drive them around for the rest of their life. Okay, now, the problem with that is there does come a point when you absolutely do need a license. Okay, you're going to get tired of public transportation and Uber very quickly. All right, you are going to want your own license. However, some people feel very strongly that, oh, I don't need a license. Sometimes people feel strongly about the things that they do need. Okay, I need the latest and the newest phone. I need the newest computer. You know, I need the newest brand of basketball shoe. You know, or I need, you know, and fill in the blank. Okay, sometimes we think the things that we need, we're just going to die if we don't have them. But all joking aside, Paul points out three specific, very specific needs that he had in his life. And I think that we can learn from them. From Timothy's vantage point, though, I want us to step back just for a second. Okay, was Paul an individual that went around to people begging them to give him things? I want to answer that question, okay? Because I think that this is a very rare instance that we see in the life of Paul. Okay, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I find this fascinating, but notice here with me, just one verse here that I think sort of typifies Paul's approach when it came to asking for things. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and notice what he says here in verse 9. That's what Paul says. He says this, "And when I was present with you," he's talking to the Corinthian church, "and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so I keep myself." You know what? Paul actually went without a lot of things simply for the sake of not being burdensome to people. Now, we know people that are quite the opposite of this, okay? People that are maybe very needy in the sense of you give them something and they want more, you know, or you provide something for them and they want to know why it's not better than it is, okay? Now, truth be told, we probably all have a little bit of that in us, okay? Now, that's a sad truth, but the truth is we probably do. But that's not the type of person we want to be. We want to take the approach of, you know what, the Lord has provided my needs, and I'm thankful for that. I believe that was the approach the Apostle Paul had. So here's my point, okay? As Timothy is reading this letter from Paul, I think Timothy's eyes were probably about this big whenever Paul said, "Timothy, I need something." Have you ever met somebody that was hard to buy for? You know what I mean by that? How many of you, somebody comes to mind right now, somebody's hard to buy for? You know, that can be for different reasons. I think about one person in particular that whenever you ask them, you know, okay, it's Christmas is coming, or it's their birthday or something like that, and you say, hey, what do you want for your birthday? Okay, now, if someone asks me that, I have about a, in fact, I've got it with me. No, I'm just kidding, okay? There are things that are boom, 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 popping in my mind. But this person says this, you know, I don't need anything. You know, I don't want anything. You know, and that for people like us that are like, well, I want to get you something. I'm going to buy you something that you don't like if you don't tell me, okay? But I'll tell you this, when it comes to that person, and I find that they're excited about something and I pick up on it, boy, I file that away. Why is that? Because that person is not the type of person to always be, hey, 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 you know, I want more, I want more, I want more. Those people are rare. Those people are the kind of people that we want to do something for. And that's why I think Timothy, when he heard this request from Paul, I think he was surprised. I think that he probably looked at it and said, wow, Paul needs something and I have an opportunity to minister to him. I think that must have been a very special thing. But Paul, nonetheless, he's got some needs in his life. Let's look at them specifically. Notice what he's saying here. Notice what he says. First of all, he mentions a physical need. Look at what he says. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Okay? Notice this. Paul's request for physical needs. This particular cloak, we're not sure how Carpus was in possession of it. We know that Paul visited him at some time, and for whatever reason, he left this coat or this cloak with him. Now, you tell me, why would Paul have been asking for this cloak? Why would he have been asking for this? Was it something like a comfort blanket that he needed to have with him? Well, I just thought of a really funny question, but I'm scared of the answer, so I'm not going to ask it. Why would he have needed it? Yes. It could have been cold. Yeah, and it probably was, okay? In fact, we know that winter was coming. Paul said that later on, okay? So winter's coming. He's in a dark and a damp jail cell, and he asked for something that is a physical need for him, okay? You know, there are needs in your life that God wants to meet. Paul didn't believe in fatalism. Okay, you know what fatalism is? Fatalism basically says, you know, I have this bad cold, but I'm not going to go to the doctor because God wants me to have this cold. And then 2 weeks later, it's no longer a cold, it's pneumonia. I have pneumonia. Because God wants me to have pneumonia. Sorry about that. And okay, but then the problem is, it goes on a little bit further, and they're laying on their deathbed. I'm coming home, Lord. I know you want me to come home right now. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's fatalism. That says that, hey, you know, I've got a problem, so I'm going to do nothing about it. Okay, God doesn't want us to live like that. Okay, this is why when you go get sick, you should probably go to the doctor at some point. Okay, and obviously your parents help you out with when that point comes. But Paul had a physical need here. The Lord cares about the needs that you and I have. Okay, and listen, I want you to pay attention to this because sometimes we get the idea that God doesn't care about the details of our life. In this, if we're not careful, we look at this as just, you know, Paul, you're asking for a jacket. I mean, why is it important that that would be included in the Word of God? Because I think that it's important that you and I understand as Christians that you and I do have needs that are important. You know, I believe in connection with this, I believe that the Lord wants us to take care of our bodies. I believe that He wants us to seek to be, to a certain degree, healthy. Like I said, if you've got a problem, you and I should look to bring about health in our lives. And this is why we are proactive to do things for ourselves physically, and this is why we are proactive to not do certain things. You know, why don't we smoke? You know, why don't we vape? Well, one of the reasons is one of the reasons is because of what it does to your body. Okay, whether it's smoking or whether it's vaping, almost 95% of that stuff contains nicotine. Nicotine affects your brain, and how it affects your brain, it affects the way your muscles function, brain activity, the way that you remember things, process things, all of these. That's why smoking is so bad for you. Nicotine will destroy you, okay? But that's a part that you and I have to understand. This is our body. And sometimes we don't really make the connection that God cares about this, but do you know how he described our body? I wish that we had time tonight, but we could go back to the illustration he gives of the temple. Now, how many of you have ever read those lengthy passages where it's talking about Solomon's temple? How many of you have ever read those passages before, okay? I'm telling you, sometimes you just, Lord, all right, what do you want me to learn from the gold and the cedar and the, sometimes it's tough to stick with that through there, but one thing that you know for sure is this, is that when that Solomon's temple was done, it was amazing. And God used some of the finest materials, okay, the finest materials to represent a building that represented him, okay? So I don't think that it's any coincidence that God had Paul use the illustration of the temple of God to represent our bodies. Does that mean that you're supposed to walk around overlaid with gold and precious gems and, all that kind of thing? Okay, no, not necessarily. But I do think that God cares about the way that we take care of ourselves physically. Sometimes you'll hear people doing crazy things. They hurt themselves, they cut themselves, and those are always sad things. And people do them for different reasons. A lot of times it's because they're trying to punish themselves for something that they feel. Sometimes it's just to get attention, and there's a lot of reasons people do that. But understand this, cutting yourself, tattoos, those sorts of things, and I know some of these things can get into controversial conversations, but this is what I want you to understand, is that this is the temple that God has given to you. God wants us to take care of it, okay? Now, are there extremes to that? Are there extremes to that? Sure there are, okay? Obviously there are, okay? But notice this, Paul had some physical needs, and God wanted him to those needs to be met. He mentions that, okay? Prioritizing your personal needs. Paul's request for physical needs. Notice the second thing, though. Notice this, and I think this is really good. Notice the second thing that he mentions here. He not only says verse 13, go back to 2 Timothy with me. I know some of you turned over. Go back if you haven't turned back. But notice with me here the next thing that he mentions. He says, not only the cloak, but when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books. Now, I see a progression of thought here. I see that Paul's got some physical needs in his life. He's asking for that. But he also talks about these books. Now, there's some speculation as to what these books could have been. But most writers seem to agree that these could have been more historical in nature, such as, books that had to do with Jewish history. Some of it could have had to do with some of the modern-day pagan writings of that day. And I believe that Paul would have used those things to enhance his ministry, okay? So these we could say that Paul had some physical needs he's asking for here to be met, but he also had what I wanted to say is some intellectual needs, okay? He's asking for these things. Now, I want to show you something because I think this parallels another portion of Scripture that I was thinking about this afternoon. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Venture with me there. Keep a finger there in 2 Timothy. Luke chapter 2, and I want you to look at the closing verse of chapter 2. Notice what it says here. And Jesus increased in what? Wisdom, all right, and what? Stature, and what? Favor with God and man. Okay, all right, this is really the only verse that we have in connection with Jesus Christ and his growth period, okay, from being a child to being an adult. Okay, Jesus is growing in several different facets. And here's my point. Does God care about us from a physical standpoint? Yes, I believe he does. Does God care about our mental development? Yes, I think he does. You know, sometimes this particular area can bring a lot of frustration to ourselves. Sometimes we look at our sciences. We look at our English lit. We look at our, you know, fill in the blank, whatever that subject is that you dislike the most, and we say, how does this even apply to anything? How is this even important or relatively important? And we want to discount it. And we want to say, well, because I don't enjoy it or because I don't see a future in this particular field, I don't have to try very hard. You know, I think Paul tried to be a well-rounded individual because Paul had a unique ministry. He stood before dignitaries. He stood before some people that had nothing, okay, compared, and everybody in between. Okay, you and I, in our opportunities to serve the Lord, we're going to rub shoulders with a lot of different people. You know, if you have the benefit of staying and working in Northern Virginia the rest of your life, you're going to rub shoulders with some very well-to-do individuals. Okay. Chances are, though, the Lord at some point may move you out of this area to an area that is very differently, maybe different socially, culturally, and everything in between. Okay, how are you going to minister to those people? Well, it's going to be through the opportunities that you have to grow and to develop in other areas. I don't believe Paul was the kind of person that if you went up and you talked to him, he only talked back in Scripture. Okay? I don't think that he was that type of person. Do I think he knew the Bible? Absolutely. But I don't think that he could only say Bible verses. Okay? I think that he could connect with different people, and I think that he tried to connect with other people. So, don't miss the overarching point here. You and I have needs, and part of those needs are, some of those are physical. God does want us, our physical needs met. Okay, but God, I think, does want our mental faculties, wisdom, reason. I think he wants all of these things to progress as well. Notice the third thing, though, that he mentions here in regards to needs, and I find this fascinating. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice with me the next category that he mentions and the caveat that he gives along with it. Look at what he says, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And now notice the ending part of verse 3. He says, and the books, but especially the parchments. Paul's mentioned his physical needs. Paul's mentioned intellectual needs, the ability to grow, mental development, all of that. But now he finishes here, gives the third need, which is that of a spiritual nature. When he talks about the parchments here, these were materials that were used for the writing of Scripture. And Paul is requesting that they be brought to him. Out of these three categories, and based on Paul's description, which one of these was he most concerned about, according to the text? Mimi? The parchments. I think that's very telling for us. Now, I want you to picture this, okay? Go with me to that cell. It's cold, okay? He's been abused. He's had a life of abuse. Okay? He's there. He's alone. He has a physical need that all of us could probably identify with, although we've never been in a situation like him. We've all been cold, experienced that. He takes that physical need and he says, you know what? This is not the most important. He sets that physical need to the side. Then he discusses books. I think Paul probably enjoyed reading. I know we've got a lot of people in here that do as well in your certain topics. But Paul looks at that and says, you know what? As much as I want to further my knowledge in these key areas, they're really not that important. He takes those books, he sets them to the side. He says, more than anything in the world, more than any need that I have on this side of eternity, boy, I want the parchments. Could you please bring the Word of God? Here's my question to you, and you know where I'm going with this. Are the spiritual needs in your life your most important needs? Paul's prioritizing here. And this is what successful individuals do. You get out into the workplace, you're going to have to prioritize. But Paul puts his very spiritual needs ahead of every single other need. He's willing to set aside physical, intellectual, what have you. And I wonder tonight if that's where we're at. I wonder tonight if this book right here that sits in your lap and is in my hands, if your need to grow spiritually is what's most important. Do you make everyday decisions that back up this priority in your life? Do the decisions that have been put in your lap to make, do you put the spiritual before anything else? You say, how does this work out practically? I'll never forget, I was in Florida, and we had just come on staff there at our church in Central Florida. And we were enjoying the ministry. There were some folks that came and visited our church. There was a man there, Joseph McLean. And I noticed he had been visiting a couple of times. And I got a chance to meet him a little bit, and he had never been to our church before. He had found our church, and just in conversation, I began asking him some questions about, you know, what he did for a living and that sort of thing. And through the course of conversation, he told me, he said, you know, I actually don't live around here. I do have a family, but we live out in the Midwest, and I'm actually looking at a job change. I said, well, is it a sure thing? He said, well, I don't know yet. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I've come out here to look at the job, but most importantly, I've come out here to find a church. And man, you know, I thought about that. Here's an individual that was going to be making a good sum more money than he had before. Here's an individual that had an opportunity to live in a nicer home, in a nicer area, to make more money, maybe be able to do more for his kids or his family or what have you. And the reason he had not made for sure his plans was because there was a spiritual need that he realized that was most important. And he was willing to put a job on the line simply because he wanted to know that there was a good church in that area that he and his family could attend. You know what that's doing? That's putting the spiritual before the physical. Do you and I do that? Let's make the choice to. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Within the context of serving the Lord, being effective, making a difference, Paul says that we got to have a love for people. We're going to make a difference. But then he goes on from there and he says, we need to prioritize our needs. Are you in tune with the needs of your life at this stage? Do you consider taking care of the temple or your body, do you consider that to be a priority in its place? Do you see the importance of the development of your mind, this stage in your life? And then most importantly, do you put the spiritual before all else? Hey, I believe that the Lord is looking for teenagers in this room tonight who will willingly sacrifice for your spiritual good. You read through the book of Daniel. Daniel did that time and time again, made difficult decisions for his spiritual good. How many of you here tonight would say, Brother Scott, as I look at the things, the needs in my life, and I see them as they are, there's some prioritizing that I need to do in relation to some of the things that we talked about tonight. Anybody by the uplifted hand this evening? Heavenly Father, Lord, you've seen these hands, and Lord, this is something that, Lord, if we're not struggling with now, we may tomorrow. Lord, help us to keep things in their proper order and thereby be effective in your service. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the invitation time. Lord, I pray that we would approach you, Lord, humbly. Father, not caring what anybody else thinks. Father, humbling ourselves before you and asking for your help. And Lord, through the power of your Spirit, I pray that you would assist us. Again, we ask for your blessing during the invitation time. In your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, if God's worked in your heart, you come down to the altar and do business with him. Maybe there's a spiritual decision that you need to make. Come talk to the Lord about it. Ask him to give you the courage to do so. Reminded of the quote by Jim Elliot that says, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it, Lord. Help us to not soon forget what we've looked at this evening. And Lord, even help us to meditate on these things as we pillow our head tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just make clear, Lord, what your will is for us in some of these areas. And Lord, may we be submissive enough, Lord, to hear when you speak. Lord, I pray that you would protect us, look after us, Lord. Give us opportunities in our service for you, even tomorrow. Lord, help us to be considering you in everything we do. Lord, thank you for the attention of the teenagers tonight. And Lord, ask for your protection on them as we go our separate ways tonight. We love you and ask all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.